Now I'd like to extend a warm welcome this evening to everybody that's come out to hear the word of the Lord being preached. And again, we would trust that God will have something for each one of our hearts this evening. I would quite simply like to look at three different portions of scriptures. It's not any sort of technical sermon, it's just simply looking at what the word of the Lord has and see if we can get something from truth for each one of our lives. So, first reading I'd like is in the Old Testament. If you've got a Bible, if you can go over to the book of Ezekiel. If you don't have a Bible, don't worry about it, we'll read the scriptures out. So it's Ezekiel and it's chapter 33 and verse 7. It says here, "So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, the wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, and he doth not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul." And the trust of the Lord will add a blessing to the first part of the reading this evening. You may wonder why we bother coming up on a Sunday night. Why bother coming out and standing up to preach the word? Why do you bring the men up here to tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ? And it's quite simple. What we have here, we've got a passage from Ezekiel, and we're by a servant of God, and the Lord has spoken to him and he's given him a message. He says, look, you must go and you must warn the people. So here we have the watchman. The watchman is the preacher. And it says here that shall hear a word at my mouth. To start off, the message which the preacher's come out with, it's not just something which they've sat and thought about and just thought, oh, that'll make a nice wee sermon, I'll speak on that tonight. Whenever somebody comes up on the platform, it's a message from God. They spend time reading the scriptures and praying. So what the message should be, it should be something that's spent before God. And it's at his mouth. You know, when we're preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're sitting there listening to it, you know, everything that we say comes from the Bible. And the Bible is the very word of God. We can't have anything more important. And my friends, if you take nothing else away, you go away this evening, just remember that the scriptures is the very word of God, and there is what tells you God's heart. There it tells you exactly what God will have for you. So the message which we bring forth is the word of God. And it says here that we're to tell the wicked that they shall surely die. So it's a word of warning. So what God has said is there's a word of warning, and the Bible is full of warning. And the word of warning is this, that each one of us have got sin in our life. Each one of us are wicked. I know in this day and age of political correctness, nobody likes to be called wicked. Nobody likes to think about sin and about wrongdoing. But the Bible says that we're to warn the wicked that they shall surely die. So we've got a duty to let you know exactly what God thinks and what God has to say. The Bible says each one of us has fallen short. Each one of us have got sin in our life. And because of this sin, we're shut out of God's presence. And then God's eyes were spiritually dead to him. But there's a good news in scriptures as well, which we'll come to. In this passage it says here that God has put in his messengers that must tell you the full good news, the full message of the Bible, and not to leave anything out. Because if we don't warn you that there's judgment coming, and we don't warn you of your sin, then it says here that your blood will be on our hands. But if we do tell you, and we do go into scriptures and let you know exactly what God thinks and the way of salvation, then it's down to yourself, and thou will not be held responsible. So what we've got, you've got a choice this evening. We have a choice, and if we go through the scriptures, we'll see you can either accept the Lord Jesus Christ or you can reject him. But one thing you won't be able to do is go away tonight and say, the preacher never told me. I didn't know that there was a way of salvation, I didn't know I had sin in my life. So the first portion I was looking at, it's just my responsibility. God has given me a message which we must bring forward to you. And once I've discharged that, it's down to yourself what you choose to do with it. So that's the whole point of coming up here on a Sunday night and opening up the Word of God. It's because God has told us to do so and He's got the message. So the next portion I'd like to look at is in the New Testament. It's in the Gospel of Luke, and we're looking at chapter 16. So it's the Gospel of Luke in chapter 16, and I'll start my reading at verse 19. It says this: "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed from the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried up by angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeing Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger into water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send unto him unto my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and they have the prophets, let them hear them. And again, we trust the Lord will add a blessing to this passage. So here we come on to the second point of the message tonight, and this is the fact that there is an eternity. And each one of us face two places which we can go to in eternity. We have heaven and we have hell. And again, this world doesn't like to think about hell. I work in the building industry. I'm a project manager and I work alongside other builders. And when I try and speak away to them and you tell them about heaven and hell, a lot of them are willing to believe in heaven. A lot of them are willing to say, yes, I believe that God is a God of love and I believe there is a heaven. And this world would love to think that. So many people try and preach that God's a great God of love and no matter what, you'll go to heaven. But unfortunately, that is not the message which is in the Bible. The Bible says, yes, there's a heaven, which we'll come to later, and there's also a hell. And the Bible says, the hell is where, when we die in our sins, that's where God punishes sin. Hell is a place which is shut away from God. Hell is a place which, as we read on, says is in torment. But here we have two men. We have a rich man, and we have a beggar. Now, do not think that just because this man was rich, that's why he went to hell. You know, there's nothing wrong with having riches. The Bible does not say there's anything wrong with having riches. There's a verse in the Bible which says, the love of money is the root of all evil. It doesn't say that money is the root of all evil, it's the love of it. So please don't get us wrong when we say that this rich man died and went to hell because he was rich. The rich man died and went to hell because he relied on his riches and he rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, you tend to find that the more money people have, the greater status, they tend to think they've got things made and tend to rely solely on themselves. And then we have the beggar. And again, the beggar didn't go to heaven simply because he was a beggar. You know, if you could go to heaven just by selling up everything, then that would be great. Just sell everything you've got and you'll get to heaven. That's not what it says here. The beggar went to heaven because he had his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, he suffered, and this is another point. But just because you're a Christian does not mean to say that you won't have life's trials and tribulations come upon you. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean to say the roads with our path are better roses. You will have problems, and we'll see that as we go through as well. So here we have two men, two very different poles on this earth, and they went to two very different places. We have Lazarus, the beggar. All he wanted was crumbs from the rich man's table. And we read that the only thing that comforted this beggar was the dogs coming and licking his sores. And then he dies and he goes to heaven. And we have this rich man. And he dies. And when he raises up his eyes, and he finds himself in hell. And the first point I'd like to get across here is that straight away, this man died and straight away opened up his eyes and he was in hell. And so on last Saturday, I was going in about chapping the doors with Colin Glenn, one of our elders, and there was an Jehovah's Witness was going round about. And they were going in behind us, chapping the doors that we were chapping and dropping leaflets in. And one of the things that they would put out that is a falsehood and goes right against scripture is something called soul sleep. They would say that when you close your eyes, that's it. You're not a Jehovah's Witness, to you, and that's you. You don't lift your eyes up anywhere else. You sleep until they call it fear of tribulation. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that this man closed his eyes and opened them, and straight away he was in hell. And if you remember when the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to the thief on the cross, his words were to him, once the thief had put his trust in the Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ said to him, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. So it's interesting, as soon as you die, you're in eternity. There's no chance of being able to work your way out from one to another. So we have the rich man. And it says he's in torment. That's another thing we'd like to look at tonight, is hell. It's not a nice thing to talk about, and we don't like to stand up here and preach hellfire and damnation and put the fear into people. But the Bible does explain exactly what hell is going to be like. And again, it would be a miss for us to try and really over the top of it and try and dismiss it. Because the Bible actually, if you read through the whole Bible, actually explains more about hell than what it does about heaven. You actually find that it goes into more detail, explains more about hell than what it does about heaven. And the only reason I can think of that is because God does not want anybody to go there. God has put it out in black and white in his picture, but he does not want anybody to go there, so he's warned us all of it. Here we read that this rich man, and he opens up his eyes and he's in torment. You know, I had a conversation with another site manager last week, and again I was trying to explain to him that you don't want to go to hell. You want to get your sins forgiven, you want to go to heaven. And his words were the same as what a lot of people try and say. He says, well, I'd rather reign in hell than serve in heaven. All my friends are going to be in hell. It's going to be a party down there. That's where I want to be. That's where all my friends are going. And so many people think like that. That why? If everybody else is going there, they might as well. They think it's going to be some sort of party. That's where everybody's going to be. That's where all the sinners are going to be. That's where the good times are going to be. All the good people go to heaven. They don't want to be up there. Well, friends, if that's what you're thinking, I'm sorry to say, but you're sadly deluded. Here is this rich man. And he lifted his eyes up and he was in torment. Other scriptures will say it's where the flame is never quenched and the worm dieth not. It's like burning to death but never dying. And here the man cries out and says all he wanted was a wee drop of water to quench his tongue. That's how much pain he was in. And then he says, okay, if that can't happen, can you send somebody back and warn my brethren? Send somebody back from the dead and let them know. And Abraham says, no, that they've got the scriptures, they've got the Bible. You know, even if somebody was to come back from the dead, if somebody was to come back in here tonight, or go into the world and say that they had died and come back to life again, and was warning them about hell, people would not believe it. The best case scenario is they'd be taken to Mount Royal in Perth and they'd be locked up in the mental health hospital there. The people do not want to believe in things like that. They've got the scriptures. The God has laid it out in black and white for us to read in his word. So we have the other point as well. So many people believe in a place called purgatory. Now, I've got a guy, again, the same site manager I'm speaking to, and he's a, I would say he's a devoted Roman Catholic, but he's Irish, and he would say his religion is Roman Catholic or something. And you say, well, he's been brought up to believe that, well, although yes, he's done some bad things wrong, but he'll go into a place called purgatory and he'll pay for his sins in purgatory. And then once he's paid for his sins, he'll then be able to go to heaven. Again, the scripture is very clear. That is not scriptural. We read down here that there was a goal fixed. Once you pass over into eternity, you cannot go from hell up to heaven, and you can't go from heaven down to hell. Not that any of them want to, but there's a goal fixed, and you can't go from one to the other. So the Bible said, now is the appointed time. Now is the day of salvation. Today is the day in which you make up your mind. You can't make it up once you pass into eternity. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the appointed time to make up your mind where you're going to be in your next life, in heaven or in hell. So here we see that hell is a place of which you do not want to be. It's a place of torment and a place of pain and a place of agony. A place where the man cried out even just for a drop of water to quench his thirst. And then we'll go over into Revelation. And here in the Revelation, the book of Revelation in chapter 21 and verse 4, we see a picture of heaven. And this is what it says. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are all passed away. And he that sat upon his throne said, Behold, I will make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And again, the trust of the Lord, what a blessing to them here. So we've seen a picture of hell where there's pain, there's sorrow, there's weeping, gnashing of teeth and tears. And then we've got a place of heaven. And it says here that God shall wipe away the tears. God himself shall wipe away all tears. There'll be no tears in heaven. And it says there shall be no more death or sorrow or crying. There'll be no pain, which is a great thing for those who have got athletic joints. There'll be no more pain. You know, there'll be no sorrow, there'll be no pain in our life. All these things have passed away. Heaven is a place where it'll be filled with joy. It'll be filled with love. The Bible says where there's no need of a sun or moon because God fills with his light. It's a place where the streets are paved with gold, it says. You know, it's going to be a place of pure joy and pure happiness. And again, tonight you have got the choice. Tonight you can choose to be in heaven or you can choose to be in hell. You say, well, what makes the difference? How can I be certain that I am going to heaven? Well, it's quite simple, because the Bible says, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The Bible says that if we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll know our sins forgiven. You know, the world has a saying that says this, that nobody's perfect. That's very true, the Bible says that. The Bible says that as well. There's no unrighteous, no, not one. Not one of us can claim to be perfect. The Bible says that there's a way in which we can get our sins forgiven, and that's by putting our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a difference in believing that the Lord Jesus Christ came and walked on the earth. Before I was saved, I believed that there was a God. I even believed that the Lord Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And I even believed that he died upon a cross at Calvary. I believed all that happened, and I believed all that was true. But that didn't make me saved. There's a difference between believing that there is a God, believing the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and actually believing that he died for you and putting your trust in him. The Bible says we've got to have faith like a child. It's truly just simply believing that he died upon the cross of Calvary for the things that I have done wrong. Now, I've got two children, Betty and Theo. My wee girl is 7 and my wee boy is 5. Now, I was playing a game with them last night, probably because I had this message in the back of my mind at the time. And I stood my wee boy up and sat on the top of the table. And I said, Right, do you believe if you fall backwards, Daddy will catch you? Yes, not a problem, he says. So I stood back, I said, Okay, turn your back and fall backwards. And with the faith of a child, he did so, and he fell back, and I caught him, no problems. I picked my wee girl up, a 7-year-old, and stood her on the table. And I asked her, does she believe that Daddy would be able to catch her? And she says, yes, not a problem. But when I asked her to turn her back and fall backwards, that was a different story. She believed in her head that I could do it, but she wasn't willing to put it into practice. That's the same when it comes to the scriptures and comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. We can believe in our head that the Lord Jesus Christ died upon a cross at Calvary. We can believe that there is a God and the rest. But unless we put it into practice, unless we have that faith, that realization that the Lord Jesus Christ died upon a cross at Calvary for the things that we have done wrong, that his blood was shed for our sins, then we're not putting our trust in him. But what I truly believe that if we were the only sinners on this world, the Lord Jesus Christ would still have had to die to take you to heaven. For it says that there's no forgiveness of sin without shedding of blood. The Bible says that you can't have your sins forgiven without shedding blood. Now in the Old Testament, they would take a lamb. They would take a perfect lamb. They would go out and find one with no blemishes or any faults on it. They would take it, they would lay it on the altar, and its blood would be shed, and the sins would be forgiven for a year. And every year they come back and do the same thing over and over again. And that's how that was pointing forward. That was a type, that was pointing forward to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he, the Bible says, is the perfect Lamb of God. Now what it says there is the Lord Jesus Christ, because we have got sin in our lives, because each one of us have got sin, and I'm sure we'll all agree to that tonight, that not one of us can stick to the Ten Commandments. We can look through them and we'll be able to pick out two or three that we can stick to. But if we read through all ten, well, we've all told a lie. We've all been disrespectful to our parents. Some of us have stolen. Some of us have taken the Lord Jesus' name in vain and blasphemed. I'm quite sure all of us can, none of us can say that we'll put the Lord as being top priority in everything. We can look down and say there's ones we've kept and ones that we haven't. But this takes taking one of the Ten Commandments to say we've got sin. And heaven is a place without sin. So we cannot get to heaven if we've got sin, therefore that takes us into another place of hell. But God doesn't want anybody to be lost. And what he says is he would sacrifice his precious son. Because the Lord Jesus Christ was perfect, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't commit any sin. He was pure and he was holy. You know, the devil tried to tempt the Lord. The devil tried to make the Lord Jesus Christ sin. And he didn't. Because the Lord Jesus Christ couldn't. It wasn't the fact that he just didn't sin. The Lord Jesus Christ couldn't sin. He was pure and holy. He was the very Son of God. And because of that, he's the only person that could shed his blood. Because if he was pure and holy, he suffered there on the cross. And not only did he shed his blood for you, but the Bible says that he bore the wrath of God for your sins. In those hours of darkness, when the sun was hidden, God punished the Lord Jesus Christ for every wrong thing that you have done. Every lie that you have told. Every sinful thought that you have thought and are going to think. The Lord Jesus Christ suffered upon the cross for that. And he was willing to do that because he's willing to take that suffering and that pain for you so you don't have to. He was willing to suffer upon that cross at Calvary so that you do not need to go to hell. He was willing to suffer on that cross at Calvary so you could know what it would be to be a place with no pain. So you would know what it's like to be able to go to a place where there's no sorrow, no anguish, no tears. A place where it's full of love and light. That's where God wants you to be tonight. But in order to get there, you have to truly believe that Lord Jesus Christ died upon a cross at Calvary. That he suffered there because of our sins. And once you come into the good of that, once you realise that he died upon a cross at Calvary and died for you, all you have to do is ask a man to your heart. All you have to do is ask for forgiveness. It's not hard. Before I got saved, I couldn't have told you what the first book of the Bible was. I couldn't have told you anything about salvation. I couldn't have told you anything about God or the scriptures. But I got to a point that I realised that I was sinful and that Lord Jesus Christ died on a cross. And that for me to get to heaven, I had to ask for forgiveness and I had to put my trust in him. And that's the same for you tonight. You don't need to know any lifelong prayers. You don't have to be able to memorise scripture and quote scripture to God. We read in the Bible of two men that go into a temple. One was a Pharisee, one was a great religious leader. The other was what they called a sinner, a publican, a sinner. Now the Pharisee walks into the temple and he stands up the front and he starts to make big long prayers. And he says, God, I give you thanks, I give 10% of everything I own to you. I give you thanks that I'm not like other men. But who even said, "I give you thanks, I'm not like that man at the back that's a sinner." He thought he knew the Bible. He thought he was something important. And then you've got the sinner that came in. He stood, he couldn't even come up to the front. He stood at the very back of the temple. And the Bible says he rose his head and his words were, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Now, when we read through the scripture, which person do you think left that synagogue justified in front of God? The Bible says it was a sinner. The man that came out at the front, the Pharisee that came out and made the big fancy prayers, God didn't hear. Because that man is full of himself, not full of the Lord Jesus. The sinner who couldn't lift his eyes up, and could only say, "Be merciful to me," and are we justified? And that's how simple it is tonight. In your heart, all you have to do is ask God to forgive you for your sins. Simply say, "Be merciful to me, a sinner." And you too would know what it's like to walk through these doors with your sins forgiven. I've been reading The Pilgrim's Progress, and if you've never read that book, it's a great book, and I could recommend it to you. But here's a man, and it talks about this man, and he's walking through life, and he's got this great big heavy burden on his back. It's like a rucksack full of rocks, and it's weighing him down, and he can't do anything. But he finally comes to the point when that rucksack is taken off, and he feels the burden taken away. And the same for you, if you've got the burden of sin in your life, if you feel you've got sin in your heart and you've got that burden that's weighing you down, you can walk away here tonight knowing it's gone. A joy in your heart, which is far greater than anything this world can offer you. You know, this world will talk about highs, will talk about adrenaline rushes, and it'll talk about things that this world can give you. But the adrenaline rushes this world can give you only last you for a second and they're gone again. You know, I do scuba diving, and the adrenaline rush when you come back out of that water, it's great, you feel on top of the world. Again, it only lasts you for an hour and it's gone. And then you've got to go and do it again, get your next fix, and then you do it again, get your next fix, and keep going. But the peace that you get from God, the moment you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation, lasts you for eternity. It lasts you for this world, and it lasts you into eternity. It's something that this world cannot take away from you. Yes, we do have problems. Yes, this road on life is never going to be easy. We have sorrows that come into your life. You have bereavements that come into your life. You've had hard times. You have rough times. You know, you have money worries. You have every worry under the sun will come into your life, even though you're a Christian. But you have the peace of God within your life. You have God standing beside you, helping you. You have somebody that you can turn to and talk to. Somebody who knows what it's like. Somebody who cares. I don't know how many of you know the story of the footsteps in the sand. But it's a story which I love, and I've got to admit it is very true. They thought it's a man to die. And when he looks down, he sees the footsteps in the sand, he's pointing to God. And he sees that when there was good times, when there was joyful times and things were happy, he sees two sets of footprints in the sand. There's him and the Lord, and he's walking together. But he looks back and he sees times when it was full of sorrow. Times when he felt it was going hard and he had sorrow in his life. And he sees only one set of footsteps. And he turns around and says to the Lord, "Why is it in the most sorrowful time there's only one set, I was alone?" And the Lord says, "That is the times that I carried you. That is the time that I carried you. That's why there's only one set of footsteps in the sand. We were going through joyful times right beside us. But when the hard times comes, he carries us. He's there with us through it all, guiding us. He's there." And that's the Saviour. And that's the one that we present to you this evening. I started off a message saying that I had a message from God, which he says we must deliver. I believe I've done that tonight. Now, if you choose to reject it, and you lift your eyes up in hell, you cannot say you were not warned. You cannot say that you came into the meeting and the preacher didn't tell you that you've got sin in your life. The preacher did not tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins. I've discharged that responsibility. It's now up to yourself. God is willing to forgive your sins if you open up your heart to him tonight. But God will not force himself into your life. He will not barge his way into your heart. You've got to open it up. there's a painting called The Heart's Door. And when the critic was putting fault in it, he said to the artist, "Yeah, it's a lovely picture, it's a beautiful picture. There's one thing missing from your door, and that's the handle." And the artist says it's the heart's door that can only really open from the inside. The Lord Jesus Christ stands knocking on the outside. You've got to open it up and let him in. Tonight the decision is yours. Do you accept him or you reject him? Shall we just close the meeting in prayer? Our blessed God and loving Heavenly Father, we do give you thanks for thy lovely Son. Father, we give you thanks that he left the splendor of heaven and he went to a cross at Calvary and died there for our sins. And Father, we just pray tonight that if there's any in the meeting that don't know thee as the Lord and the Savior, Father, we just pray tonight that they would realize that you love them. Mm-hmm. And that you went all the way to that cross at Calvary and you shed your blood, and all they have to do tonight is accept him in. Mm-hmm. You just have to open up their heart's door and let the Lord in. Father, we just pray tonight that nobody would leave this hall not knowing thee as the Lord and as the Savior. Mm-hmm. Father, we just pray this prayer would be dealing with us all. And these things we ask in thy Son's holy and precious name. Amen. Mm-hmm. Before we actually leave, can we just sing together a couple of verses of a hymn? When I find which one it was, I was going to choose. It's hymn 130. Hymn 130. No, it wasn't. That's the wrong words. Sorry. 143, on the golden streets of heaven all men hope to walk some day, yet so many are not willing to accept the living way, but while others build on good works or opinions if they may, hallelujah, hallelujah, I'm depending on the blood. We'll sing the first and the last and we'll stay seated for singing 143.